May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
I was having some fun with Diane during the piece, doing some ASL. So, you want to know how to say Merry Christmas? It's Merry and Happy are the same. Okay, so that's Happy or Merry. And then Christmas, is you make a C, and then it's supposed to be the shape of the wreath. Okay, so Merry Christmas. That's it, just Merry Christmas. Okay. And then Happy New Year, Happy again. Okay, New, you just kind of scoop your hand like that. Happy, New, and then Year. It's like the sun, the earth going around the sun. So Happy New Year. There you go. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year! All right, there we go. Now turn to John chapter 1. You've heard this now. This will be the third time you've heard this, so hopefully you're getting it, okay? We had it at the beginning of the service. Father David read it, then Deacon Mac just read it again. Now I'm going to read it to you, okay? We're going to look at verse 9. John chapter 1, which is called the prologue of John. Beginning with verse 9 here, it says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Praise the Lord. "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You know, when you hear about Christmas in the world, people will say, "Oh, Christmas is about giving." But it's not. I mean, here it is, right here. Christmas is not about giving. Christmas is about receiving. "He came to his own, and his own received him not. Yet to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God." It's about receiving the Christ. It's about receiving Jesus into your life. Now, 2 weeks ago on 3 Advent, I was talking to you about our individual relationship with Christ. And we talked about blooming in the desert, you know, that if you're walking in the way, if you're walking in Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're in the desert or not, because you have the full life of Christ in you. Well, and then I said, we're going to be talking about the corporate relationship with Christ, and that's what we're going to do today. When we receive Christ as an individual, we receive him for the body. Now, that may just kind of wrap your brain around that for a minute, all right? Because when you were baptized, 3 things happened, okay? When you were baptized, number 1, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were not baptized just for you alone. You got that? It wasn't just about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. You were baptized into the body of Christ. You were marked as Christ's own forever, okay, and you received the full Holy Spirit. You didn't just get a part of him. You didn't just get a measure of the Holy Spirit. You got the whole kit and caboodle, okay? All right. You became part of the whole body. And so this is important. Whatever we do individually affects the entirety of the body. We receive Christ for the benefit of the whole body. And without receiving him, you have nothing to give. And so it's an ongoing process of receiving him. It's an ongoing process of being in relationship with him. Ooh, there's that word again. Okay. So, salvation is not just an individual issue alone. We're not saved for ourselves. We're saved into the body. Now, look again at the prologue of John, the next verse after what I just read to you. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh, and he didn't just come for Miranda. He didn't just come for Diane. He didn't just come for Bill. He made his dwelling among us, that we might all be one. Actually, Tripp and I were talking when we were driving by the church yesterday. When we were driving by the church, there's a Seventh-day Adventist church over near our house, and Miranda and Tripp both noticed that there was a sign out there that said Vertical Church meets. So the Vertical Church meets on Sunday, where the Seventh-day Adventists meet on Saturday, okay? And when we were driving by it today, it hit me that, you know what? That's only a half a church.
Yeah.
A vertical church is only a half a church.
Well, we did ask yesterday,
is there a horizontal church? Yeah. Well, it better be both. Because if you're just focused vertically, then you're not dealing with the other people in the body. It's just all you. And that ain't a church, okay? There isn't the church of Tripp or the church of Kevin. There's the church of Jesus Christ and his whole body, all right? Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them, Jesus said. Now, yesterday at the quiet day, I was just trying to hear what God was saying, and he told me to look at Colossians chapter 1, and I was like, that's like, actually, it kind of hit me. That it was very much like what, it was Amanda who got the word about he is risen, and I was like, but Colossians 1 is about Easter stuff, you know?
And, we see him tell you to look at Malachi. Look on the right side.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have to do Malachi. That's right.
Don't you do Malachi.
You do know that Malachi is the Italian prophet, right? Malachi? Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, anyway. I am very quickly losing this sermon. All right, okay.
Back on track.
In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 9. This is what the Lord showed me. I had to go and get my Greek New Testament to figure this out to make sure I was reading it correctly. And yes, this is what it actually says. In verse 9 of first chapter of Colossians, for this reason, since the day we heard about y'all, we have not stopped praying for y'all and asking God to fill y'all with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that y'all may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that y'all may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified. And then if you'll notice, there's a little footnote here next to that next y'all, which actually says that it could be us. So, who has qualified weans to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Anyway, the point being that it's all in the plural. There's no singular here at all. And so you may have a life, that's y'all may have a life, worthy of the Lord, and it may please him in every way. That's what God wants for us as a body. He wants us to live a life together worthy of the Lord and that it may please him, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that we may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks together. It's about us. It's not about each one of us individually. It's about us, weans, okay? It's about relationship. Now, the thing is, it's when you're looking at the prologue of John, the word there for word is logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos, okay? And that is the model, if you will. The Logos is the model for what we are to look like as a Christian community, okay? Because the Word was made flesh. The Logos was made flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. But you see, the Trinity is a relationship. That's what makes the Trinity unique. Because there are three persons in the Trinity: the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, but there is one substance of the Godhead. And what is that substance? That substance is love. Because it's a perfect love relationship. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. Whatever the Son does, the Spirit does. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Father. The Spirit loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. The Father, you know, and it's a perfect love relationship. You think about marriage. The two shall become one flesh. Yes? Well, that we're not talking sex. Yeah, there is that aspect of it. But it is the love that a couple has for one another that keeps them bound together. I love that Michael Card song about the crucifixion. What was it that held Jesus to the cross? It was love. It wasn't nails. It was the love of Jesus for us that held him to the cross. That's just an awesome picture that you can get in your mind. And so the three persons of the Trinity are perfectly related. It's about relationship. It's not about any one of them, because when you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the whole of the Godhead. When you're talking about the Spirit, you have the Father's love made manifest. You have Jesus' sacrifice made manifest. It's all one because of the love relationship that they have with each other. That's what makes the Godhead one. All right. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. And whatever any one of us does affects the whole. Now, I got permission to have this example, okay? So I'm going to give you an example, and it's our brother Tripp, all right? Now, Tripp did something he's not proud of not too long ago, and he ended up getting into some trouble. As a result, he now has a restricted driver's license, okay? That affects the body. Somebody has to go pick him up for Saturday's quiet day for Sunday morning service. They're having to adjust the practice time on Monday night because he can't be out past 8 o'clock. You know, and this is going to go on for a whole year. What happens to one person, what one person does, affects the entire body. Now, on the flip side of that example, though, is Tripp is doing some incredible things trying to get himself right with God. He joined the Fellowship of St. Benedict. He's working very hard at keeping himself in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that will be a positive influence on the whole body. Are you with me? Do you see this? So what we do wrong, yeah, it affects the body negatively. What we do right, it's not just for Tripp. It's not just for any one of us. It's for the whole body. And so when God is speaking to us individually, he is speaking to us corporately. What he's saying to you, we need to hear. If God is speaking to you, he's speaking to the whole. And when he speaks to the whole, he's also speaking to each one of us individually as well. So that's why you'd never let a prophetic word fall to the ground. Because it's for all of us. Now, I've got another one example. Actually, Jody, this is your moment. Okay, come up here. See, God spoke to Jody back on December 19th, and she actually wrote it down. Good girl. And I want you to come and read it, okay?
Did you tell her you were going to do this to her?
I gave her a little bit of
warning. Man, and I was like...
Yeah, well, I put my elbow on.
Yeah, hold me up. I was just sitting there, like always, and this how this comes to me. I just be doing anything, and I have to grab a piece of paper and a pen and jot, and then I don't even know what I've written until I go back and read it. So anyway, he makes my steps wide. I narrow them with my butts and lock myself into a box. He restores my soul. I keep drawing from the well without getting it refreshed. He stands closer than a brother. I wander until I'm alone. I call out to him. He answers. I put my headphones on. He loves me. I repeat, I'm unlovable. He frees me. I put more locks on the chains. He gives me peace. I dredge up garbage to keep my mind in horror. He doesn't judge me. I judge him, myself, and others. He provides for me. I squander it and am unthankful. He gives me wisdom. I stay stuck on ABCs. He gives me truth. I filter out and focus on lies. He gives me blessings many. I fail to count them. He gives me breath. I smoke. He shed his blood. I refuse to be worthy. He gives me love. I squirm and shun. He gives me new life. I live in my old life. How much more I would do for you if you would just have me. And then a song we used to sing when I was little came to me. He gave me new life, something to hope for. When I would have died, he gave me something to live for. Now as I press unto the goal that is set before me, oh hallelujah, he gave me new life. Many of us are broken. He's saying that's what I do, is mend and create something where you see nothing. Open your hands and release the shards. And then he told me, because this is how he speaks to me, when you're ready to come to dinner, I'll save you a seat.
Amen. Thank you. And Jody, the word the Lord's giving me right now for you is really very simple. That old life, you don't need to be afraid of entering into the new, and don't be afraid of what can happen from the old. The Lord will provide for you not only provision for your needs, but he will also provide you with protection from the enemy. Don't be afraid. Okay? Each one of us is very, very different, and we all have differing gifts, and we all make mistakes, we all screw up, we all fall short of the glory of God. That's biblical, and we don't need to be afraid, because our differences, I mean, there are times when I'm sure that the rector of this parish just gets really on your nerves from time to time, but you need me, and I need you. And just to make sure that everything, truth in advertising here, sometimes you get on my nerves, too, okay? And we need each other really, really bad, and you need each other really, really bad. We all have differences. We all have gifts. We all have grating personalities on certain people. And, our differences are not only a challenge, our differences are our strength. Because without you, we won't be complete. We need each other. We need to learn how to work together. Because our differences are a challenge, but our differences are our strength. And that's what makes us unique. And yes, we are called to be different from the world. Community doesn't, you can't manufacture it. It doesn't just happen. It happens because Jesus Christ is dwelling in us. The world does not understand that. The world doesn't see the logos and the importance of the love of God made manifest in a relationship. The world cannot comprehend that. But God created this parish. God created this community. God is the one who instructs and guides us every moment and every step of the way. Our differences are very, very important. So what do we do? All right, preacher man, talk it up. You nurture the body. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about the kingdom. We nurture the body. And I don't... Yesterday at the quiet day, Jack was joking. He was saying, well, since we've already heard the sermon for tomorrow, do I have to come? And I don't... Somebody gave me a scripture yesterday. I don't remember what it was. But the scripture that I heard was... in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us not give up meeting together. Okay? Sorry, Jack. I'm glad you're here, by the way. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's so important for us to not neglect the opportunities to come together as the body of Christ. And that's not just worship. That's times, as we heard yesterday in the quiet day, about having times together just for fun, just so we can enjoy each other's company, just to have go out, have a drink together, go out and have a meal together. Let's all meet at somebody's house and just have a joyful day. It's important for the body to maintain that contact and to nurture one another. But yes, above all, to not neglect to meet together for worship. To encourage each other. Pray for each other. To visit. I love the fact that there have been a number of people who have been wanting to go and visit Carol and visit Sue. And Jim, you and I still got to get over and see Aunt Sue. And, you know, it's important for us to not forget those who are not able to be here. You can always pick up the phone and call Carol. You can pick up the phone and call Sue or Linda Mills and just talk to them. And just let them know that they're not forgotten. That they're a very important part of this body. And then, above all, folks, remember in we had Luke 10:1 many, 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 many years ago. Do you all remember? There's an important part of that whole Luke 10:1 thing. And that was... the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What do you do about that? Pray that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest field. Pray it up, folks. We wonder why, you know, why are there not more people? Well, are you praying that God will bring more? This is a body that God is putting together. Pray that God will send laborers into his harvest field. Whatever we do individually, it affects the whole. Whatever we do right, God will bless. Whatever we do wrong, God will forgive. Don't be afraid. Let's work together. God has called us together to be of one heart, one mind, one spirit in the body of Christ. Now, I do want to conclude with this. I am going to be taking a mini sabbatical. And it's not about me. It really isn't. I feel like I just... The tank is drained right now. And need to be refilled. And so with permission from the Rector's Council and from the clergy, I'm going to take the month of January off and just allow God to refill my tank. I need to have that time. And so... effectively, after service, after church today, after today, I'm going to be gone until February 1st. All right, I will be back on February 1st. I will probably be attending worship here on Sundays, but please don't call me, okay? Please don't. I just need to have that time to be with God, all right, and to just allow Him to replenish me. And I pray that that will be a real blessing for you. I really do. I think that it's a very important part of what God is doing in our midst. So, all right. Well, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the gift you've given us in this congregation, for the love that we do have for one another, but more importantly, Lord, for the love that you have shown us in calling us together to be of one heart and one mind in your church. And we pray, Lord, that Whatever we have done amiss, you would set it aright. And whatever we have done aright, you would establish it here and in heavenly places. And Lord, that we may be one body in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.